Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded on the 9th day of July. USDA has released an updated set of supply and demand tables. They show an adequate corn supply for the year and next, and a burdensome supply of beans and wheat. We'll learn how the market reacted and why today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Steve Erdman of EFG in Chicago. Our panelists today include Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group in Champaign, Illinois, and Mike Georgie of Allendale out of Mahomet, Illinois.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Let's open the discussion with this question today. Kurt Kimmel, do you think the 250 million bushel drop in the total 10-11 marketing year for corn, that's 125 million fewer from this season and 125 fewer in production, is correct?
We believe so. When you look at last year, 9 months later, all of a sudden feed usage goes up with less livestock. Then, two, when you actually physically survey the growing region, it's awful hard to believe we're going to be much above trend line yields.
So total supply at 14.733, that's down 250 million bushels when we get into the full season for the 2010-11 marketing year, right or wrong?
Well, you know, with the looking at the good to excellent ratings, I mean, we think they could actually increase yields by 3 bushel an acre on the 10-11 crop, and that would bring us back to maybe that 1.5, 1.6 carryout.
And Jackie Vakes?
Well, I think trend line yields are something that is definitely in the game. From traveling a lot of different places and driving, there certainly is a tremendous amount of variability in the crop. But, you know, you've got to admit that where you see a couple acres killed, you also see it surrounded most of the time by heavy germination and a really, really abundant amount of stalks. And so I think, if anything, we're going to certainly see, we're going to test the hybrids. Let's just put it that way. But I think that we could see maybe a slight increase in yield, but everything's going to depend upon what this July and beginning of August weather says.
And Jackie Vakes, as you can hear, is by phone. She's traveled to the West Bend, Wisconsin office from here in Champaign County in the last day and a half. What did you see on your way up, and which route did you take?
We actually went over 74 to Bloomington and then came up I-39 and I-43. As you travel, it would be like you would expect. You know, the area around Champaign is more heavily tasseled. And the further north you go, the less tassel you see. But it's tasseling all the way up into the southern portion of Wisconsin. As you get further into the southeastern portion, it's still small, but it's ahead compared to other years. The bean crop is the one that is really variable. Boy, you see some miserable-looking bean fields that are extremely small, very, very thin, and then you see stands that are absolutely beautiful. Just as even as could be. So you can tell exactly where the heavy pockets of rain were. And I think in general, it just goes back to Kurt could be 100% right on trend line yield. Mike could be right on the other side. You really don't know what's going to happen on that crop.
Let's take a look at some of the numbers as they finished up in Chicago this week. From the Corn Pit, July had a high of $3.78.5, a low at $3.59.25 for that contract. The July settlement price at $3.75.25, up 11.25 on the week. December futures, $3.95.25, finished 10.75 cents higher in Chicago for the Corn Pit. Some of the numbers as they were released from the USDA on Friday morning, and the changes that came along with them from the supply and demand tables, feed and residual use for corn up 175 million bushels to 5.525 billion. Ethanol usage at 4.5 billion, down 50 million. So total usage was up 125 million. And if you turn that around, you end up with ending stocks down 125. And we put that into the acres. And we already asked about the total number, which was 250 different when we started for total production of this year. But maybe we ought to talk about the ending stocks and what those really mean. So now we have an ending stock of 1.478 billion bushels for corn this year. That's down 125 from the previous estimates. And for at 1.373 billion for next year, that's down 200 million bushels. That's a tight supply.
Well, it's adequate for say, but it's getting tighter. And if we go ahead and see harvested acres come down some, and we don't get much above trend line yield, and you keep strong corn demand, you can tighten the ending balance down to 1.2. Now, to get extremely bullish, we got to get her down to a billion bushel, but, you know, there's a lot of growing season left here in the next 30 to 45 days.
Mike, Kurt says adequate. I called it adequate in my opening comments. What do you say?
Well, I think that's right. I think the 1.3, 1.4 is adequate, but it's like we've been saying, we have to keep producing a good crop. And the weather the next month, like Jackie said, is going to be important. We are ahead. I mean, in Tuesday's crop progress, they said we were 19% silked. Average, five-year average is 8. So, I mean, this crop is well ahead. Do we need a whole lot more rain? I think in the corn particularly, I think guys are looking for hot and dry weather. But, you know, if we get above trend line yield and we get back to 1.6, no, I don't think we have any problem with corn being in supply.
Jackie, I used adequate. Would that be a term you'd use? And then a follow-up question with you, because Mike mentioned it. We're so far ahead in corn. What might that mean as we get into the month of August and September?
Well, I think if you're looking at it from a trade perspective, it's certainly adequate. There's no question about that. And I was going to follow up with Mike's comment. I do think when you look at how far ahead we are, you know, when you look into the September grain stocks report that we'll be coming into, we could very easily, in most years we only have corn that's coming out of the south. We could easily have an abundant amount of corn that's actually coming, beginning to come out of the Midwest and the East Coast and at times like that. And so if we were in a normal growing year, I'd be really quite bullish, very bullish corn, actually, because I would expect that we'd probably see another very strong usage number. I think that's going to be tempered down by how far ahead the crop is.
When you use the word temper, and when I talked to Darrell Good on Friday morning, it was a word that I suggested to him. But temper the bullishness, is that where most of you stand at this point? We'll start with Jackie and go around the horn.
Well, that's where I stand. I think you have to look at this opportunity when you just look back. Not very long ago, we were down at 344 futures in December. Granted, things have changed from there. But if you missed out when we had opportunity before this, I believe you have to take advantage of it.
Yeah, you got to use your strength here to get caught up to where you want to be, because we pretty well know the numbers now. We've taken some uncertainty out of the market other than weather. But if we come in here in the next week or two and the financial sector, the outside markers back on the skids again, that's going to fill back into the grain complex. So it's a marketing plan decision, and you got to stay on top of it because the opportunities are here and gone in just a matter of a few hours.
Well, it's true. I think $4 is going to be real tough to get through. Yes, the funds could push it through, and yes, if we come in Sunday night and they're talking bullishness on the weather forecast, we could break it. But I think $4 is going to be a real tough barrier to get through and stay up above.
And a couple of other numbers that come out of those WASD figures. Average market price for the coming year, 2010-2011, 345 to 405, that for the season's average cash price for corn. And then on world corn production, just something to make note of, because the amount of corn that they produce is fairly small. But you've heard us talk about Ukraine and the former Soviet Union 12 and the possibility that they might increase corn production. Year-over-year change from this year to last, 19.7% more corn in the FSU 12. And Ukraine up 23.8%. They're not producing all that much corn yet, but that is a pretty good gain, a very sharp gain, actually, on production. So let's take a look at some of the rest of the numbers. Soybeans on the week, a July high at $10.30 in that contract. These are, of course, the whole week's trade and the high and low overnight and day trade. Low at $9.59.5. Settlement price at $10.25.5. The gain there, 62¾ cents. Again, 62¾ cents in the July. November beans up 47½ cents at $9.53¼ on their settlement price. USDA supply and demand figures show a couple of different things. Ending stocks for this year down 10 million. At 175 million, but for next year they were unchanged, Kurt Kimmel, at 360 million. Still, we managed to really rally the marketplace pretty good this week, although that happened mostly earlier in the week and not at the end of the week.
Yeah, 360 million, that's a good number and it indicates plenty of supply, but I think the trade's looking forward here. China's still buying U.S. beans. Trade's looking at the U.S. crop conditions. The beans are a little rougher looking, and the harvested acres, there's a question. Yield's a question there. Overall, world demand still remains strong. Our beans here in the U.S. are a discount to South America right now, so there's some optimism here as we go into the first week of July.
What do you think of the way the marketplace ended on Friday?
Well, I think the market is, you know, you say the bad word of the funds. Their funds are either bad because they're selling everything and the market's going down, or they're buying it and it's going up. And I think that's what happened Tuesday. Money flow came in. Everybody wanted to buy beans. And that's kind of where I think they still sit after today's market. They're still looking at weather to be bullish. If you come in Sunday night and the South is going to be dry, which is going to have drying conditions for the beans down there, you're still going to see some strength in the beans and for all the conditions reasons that Kurt just mentioned as well.
Jackie Vex, you think that this week was worth the gain in the bean pit? And if so, is there more left to do in that, or should producers be marketing new crop?
Well, I think when you look at it from a technical standpoint, a close above the 200-day moving average certainly cannot be discounted. So I would think that from a traditional fund stand, we could see more investment come into this. I do think it's worth it, though, for a producer to recognize that I looked at the last 5 years, and four of the last 5 years, from this coming Monday until the 30th of July, we went down four out of those 5 years. On average, and if I throw out 2008, because 2008 we went down $1.92, we still went down an average of 59 cents, even if we were rallying hard into that time period. And so I think you have to be, when we went up, the 1 year we went up 12 cents is what we did. And so with the strong rallies that we've had here, I just think we have to be very careful. I agree with Kurt 100%. I think we have a lot of good things going for beans in many, many ways. Never discount the fact that we've gone a long ways in a short amount of time.
Many good things for beans, and many, Jackie and Kurt both, will look out their back window and say, oh, man, I've got a lot of weeds. There was a lot of competition here. My beets are small. They got in wet. They haven't got off to a good start. Still, there's, I guess, what I would call a pall of 360 million bushels that sets out there at the ending stocks next year. How careful does a farmer need to be in pricing out his beans this season? Maybe, Jackie, you can take that up first.
Well, I think when you look at it, he has to approach this market with a plan. And to me, the plan has to be that I'm going to protect myself at a profitable level. If you're at a profitable level, if you don't want to sell any more in cash because you're not sure what that is, get some puts in place. It's not a situation where you can just stand by and think that what's happening in that field. But at 306 million, we also have to remember about a two bushel change, a two bushel drop in production at the acres that we're at could bring us right back down to these tight stocks. That's a great thing, but you can't count on that. So I just think that a producer has to be cautious and businesslike. protect himself.
Yeah, Jackie, you took the words right out of my mouth when you look at losing one bushel acre and take away 1 million harvested acres. You can tighten that down to 200 million bushel carryout real quick.
That's right. I mean, you know, 2 weeks ago we'd have never thought we'd been back to over 950, and we're here. They didn't think it could happen. The funds has helped us out, and you definitely got to take this as a selling opportunity.
One final thing to take up maybe with you, Kurt. The numbers on the wheat show that there's a pretty good size ending stocks there. We have a pretty good price, I guess, for wheat. Most of it's marketed over the scale. You think if a farmer hasn't finished marketing his wheat that he ought to?
Yeah, and you need to take advantage of this up move here. But the wheat bearishness is the old crop. As you look forward here, new crop gets much tighter. We've got weather problems in China. We've got weather problems in Europe. We've got weather problems in Australia. We've got weather problems in Russia. We've got weather problems everywhere. So as we go down the road, it will tighten it up, but not to justify $8 or $9 wheat just yet.
All right. And when we return, we'll talk with Steve Erdman. He's with EFG in Chicago, Illinois. You're listening to Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from willag.org.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The weather so far this summer certainly stands in stark contrast to the very cool summer last year. Hot, humid weather blanketed Illinois most of this week, and a cold front managed to bring some scattered showers and thunderstorms as it pushed through the state, though not nearly as much as was needed. Temperatures this week range from 2 degrees above normal in southwestern Illinois to 6 degrees above normal in northeastern Illinois. The hottest day of the week was Wednesday, when afternoon temperatures topped out in the low to mid-90s south of the line from Chicago to St. Louis. Rainfall was generally at or above normal north of that same Chicago to St. Louis line. A slow-moving to at times stationary front provided a boundary to focus the showers and thunderstorms. Rainfall was well below normal this week in the southeastern half of the state, despite some showers and heavy thunderstorms on Thursday along the front. High pressure drifting across Illinois this weekend will bring us some pleasant summer weather. Another cold front will be trying to push through Illinois early Monday and will likely bring another chance for rain. It appears this front may stall across southern Illinois by Tuesday, setting the stage for periods of showers and thunderstorms, especially over the southern half of the state, for the remainder of the week. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. This one was recorded on the 9th day of July, 2010. Our panelists include Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Mike Georgie from Allendale in Mahomet, Illinois, Jackie Vakes from the Stuart Peterson Champaign office. She's in West Bend, Wisconsin this weekend. Our guest on the phone line is Steve Erdman from EFG in Chicago. Mr. Erdman, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
What did you make on Friday morning of the USDA numbers, and which of them surprised you the most?
Well, I think the trade kind of at least took the numbers as pretty much a non-event, but then I think we immediately started to rally, which I think is a reflection of last week's acreage report. I think that's a much bigger deal than what we saw today. I think the trade was expecting possibly an adjustment in the national average yield, which we didn't get, which we will get in August. And as the panelists were discussing earlier, I think there's a tremendous amount of uncertainty in what we're going to end up with as a corn crop.
I would be surprised that the USDA would change the national average yield to 163.5, not until August, but because that would be the first time they really get a crop production number out. The numbers that came out from USDA, though, for both this year and next year on corn for the carryout were small, but they weren't what the trade really had expected. They were a little bigger than what the trade was thinking might be there.
Right. I don't think the trade so much was surprised by the numbers. I think, if anything, they were surprised by the USDA lowering ethanol usage and lowering our exports. Our export pace has been phenomenal. I mean, I think we have to ship 53 million bushels a week to meet the export demand as stated in this marketing year. So I really think the big picture is a bigger thing right now, that in April I think we were projecting new crop ending stocks at $1.8 billion, $1.9 billion, and now we're down to $1.3 billion, $1.4 billion. Or, you know, basically that. And I think everybody suggested how uneven the crop is. And we have morning hotlines where some guys are talking about how fantastic the crop looks and others are concerned about how poor it looks. And you're hearing firing in some areas and nitrogen depletion and, you know, shallow root structures that won't be able to handle any kind of heat. And now there's some private climatologists lining up saying the 18th we are going to get some type of blocking pattern. So, I mean, the volatility, in my estimation, is just going to increase.
Well, Steve, that's my question. You're subject to change. You can change your mind Monday if you want. But are we at trend line yields or above or below trend line yields according to what you're
saying? I think we're above, Kurt. Okay. I think we're above. I think the crop, you know, I think we could be 6 to 8 bushels above today. I mean, looking at today's conditions based on what the USDA is telling us. But I really don't think people have a handle yet. I think we'll have a much better idea in 2 weeks what kind of crop we've got out there. Right now, I think it's more conjecture than anything else, but I think you'll be able to get some credible yield estimations in just 2 weeks' time, because we are so far ahead of ourselves. And I do think we'll, as Jackie said, I think we'll see new crop coming in September. Good heavy corn that will blend well with the garbage that we harvested last year from the screwed up growing season.
Is your feelings on beans about the same as corn? I mean, is there, do you feel there's a real concern out there with the bean crop and the bean yields?
I think there is, Mike. I think there is a great degree of concern, and I think everybody feels kind of hoodwinked year to year. This is the second year we've come into July, and the bull spreads have gone nuts, and there's people that are talking now that think that the August no spread could do more than the July no spread has done, and they continue to suggest that the USDA is overstating ending stocks and that the stocks apparently are much tighter than what we all see because of the way the spread's acting.
Jack, you have a question?
I sure do. You know, the the beginning of this, Steve, started all with wheat. You know, when we came out with the Canadian numbers and saying that they were going to have so many less planted acres. My question is regarding the impact of the today's trade and whether unwinding of spreads, you know, between the wheat and the corn and the wheat and the beans was what was really happening, because I think a lot of people were surprised to see wheat down as much as it was and corn actually hold itself totally together and beans gain.
Jackie, I think the intermarket spreading is huge anymore, and I think you've seen new fund allocations, and that was more apparent in some of the new crop. The funds are definitely there. They're definitely spreading between markets. I think their presence is going to continue to be felt, and I think it's just the new reality. I think that's what we're going to have to deal with. I think we've got some regulatory mandates that are coming down the pike that may temper the effect of the funds. But what I really think you're going to see from the funds is a more diverse pool develop. I think you're seeing more trading funds developed and more manager-of-manager type approaches instead of big hedge funds coming in that control billions of dollars or big index funds that come in and do basically a mutual fund of grains. You're going to see a more liquid trade, I believe. I think we're going to go back to a more viable market and more liquidity.
Steve, with the report being out and now we've got all the numbers out, and especially in beans, you know, we've seen a big rally off the June 30th reports in beans and corn. Do you see a lot more upside in this, or what's going to cause the upside if it does come?
Well, I agree with what everybody said. I'd be selling corn here and selling beans here. We're at resistance. The next best resistance to no beans is probably up against 965, 970. But I think Mike said $4 is going to be tough to get through, and I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I think, you know, we've just rallied the market 50 cents, and everybody's bulled up again. And when we were trading at 350 in corn, for example, everybody was so bearish they couldn't see straight. So I think the market's been in a trading range, both really the soybean market and the corn market, for months. And if you look at weekly charts in corn, they're still suggesting a trading range. You know, if we violate $4 on the upside in D's corn, we might get 415. If 415 is violated, it might give us another dime. Ultimate resistance in D's corn, you've really got to close the market over 450 to complete any kind of W formation and suggest, you know, significantly higher prices. And I just don't see that happening right now with what we know.
Steve, on Friday's report, it showed Chinese corn production and wheat production at near record levels, but yet China, you know, bought some U.S. corn and booked a deal with Canada, buying twice as much as they ever bought. What's your views on Chinese demand here as we go forward?
Kurt, we've got some tremendous contacts that we've cultivated over the last 3 or 4 years. We've been over to China 10 times, I think, in the last 3 years. The indication we get is that last year's crop was closer to 140 to 135 than 155. I just think that's the big wild card to me is China. Would they booked another five cargoes from what we're picking up this week? That puts them at 1.2, 1.3 million tons of corn. That's the most corn they've bought in 15 years from us. And, you know, they've used 10 or 11 million tons of corn out of their strategic reserve. And, I they've got about a half a billion hogs that they're feeding in China. So I think that is more of a wild card than what our production is. And if they ever get any kind of uneasiness that they're going to be able to buy the amount of corn they want from us, we're going to have a dramatically different situation develop quickly.
So I have one final question for you. You'd have producers sell, I think, both new crop corn and soybeans, correct?
Yes, I would.
But would you have them set up so that, and in what form to take advantage of purchases that China might make?
Well, Todd, I think we've got to take advantage of today's realities and not, you know, over analyze the market. I think we all get caught up doing that at times. I mean, I'll be the first to admit I was the most bearish person on the planet the last meeting I did with Jackie on soybeans. But the situation as we know it today, I think, demands that you take advantage of $4 D's corn and $9.50 Nova beans. And then if China does come in a big way, there'll be plenty of time to react to it. Because, again, if we get a bullish enough situation out of China, we'd be talking about not $4 corn, but probably $6 corn. That we got plenty of time to position ourselves with bull call spreads or futures positions or whatever else, but you can't count on that when you're marketing.
Steve, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Steve Erdman is with EFG in Chicago. Time for a final word from our panelists. We'll start with Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson.
Well, I think one of the things that a person always has to look at when you're making a decision on marketing in a circumstance like this is how can I walk away and not reward a rally like we've just had? And so if emotionally you can't let go of it, you've got to take a step back and look at why that is.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities.
Well, as said, I think the marketplace changes very quickly, and the only way to stay on top of it is stay in tune for this program and other programs during the week.
Mike Georgie of Allendale.
Well, I think the market's given you opportunities, and as a marketer of your own grain, the reason you sell or buy puts or buy calls after you've sold is to limit your risk, and I think that's what you have to do in markets like this.
That wraps up this edition of Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can hear it again if you'd like at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.